Lovely to see everyone and a number of people who are part of the regular church here but haven't been here for many, many months, and you know who you are. It's lovely to welcome you. Really nice and see the room full, yeah, especially with people having been away for this Easter time. It's really, really nice to see it. And to be together is a great thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Praise God. I'd like to just run this PowerPoint through. There we are. Good. Obviously this morning I want to talk about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I guess you kids, if you went to school and told your friends that you knew that Jesus had died and that he had risen again, they would have been, well, probably they would have said some pretty unkind things. Because most people, let's face it, who don't have any experience, particularly of church or whatever, would have no concept that a man could come and die and be raised to life again 3 days later. What an incredible statement that is. And we've sung about it, we've talked about it, we've heard it, we've heard Dave explain it. Incredible. Many people have come to look at the resurrection with a view to discredit people that make claims that Jesus died and rose again. But actually, there are many people who have brought incredibly strong minds to look at the evidence for the resurrection and have become utterly persuaded that what they have heard is true. And I want to just run through a few things with you this morning, if I can get this to move on. What am I doing wrong, guys? Can anybody help me? Does he know how this works? If not, we'll manage without. Thanks, Andrew.
As far as I know, this is, everything has been pulled apart and wrecked. I'll just have to do it from the back.
No problem, Andrew.
No, even if you... Oh, it's on. No, it's still not... Sorry, I'm going to have to...
We'll press on.
Do it from the back.
Okay. Brilliant. So there's two questions that I'd like to ask you this morning that we want to think about. First of all, how do we know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? And the second question is, what blessings come to us because of his resurrection? Okay, so how do we know that Jesus rose from the dead? What is the evidence for the fact that Jesus rose from the dead? Well, there are four essential things that we need to think about that is evidence of the resurrection. First of all, the people that came to discover that the stone had rolled away and that just the tomb was empty. That was the great, amazing thing about the story initially when the women came to the tomb and they found that the tomb was empty. Peter and John and the women saw it. They had first-hand eyewitness account of the fact that Jesus had died and had risen again. And the other thing that was relevant to this, to the reason for the empty tomb, was that when they looked in, they saw that the grave clothes had not been unwound, like when a body was embalmed, but somehow the body had gone through the grave clothes and they'd just fallen away separately, which could only have happened by the resurrection of Jesus coming through. So the empty tomb is a very powerful evidence for the resurrection. Pressing all these available switches and buttons. Ah, here we go. Now, unbelievers would say, of course, that there were other reasons. They would say that Jesus didn't actually really die. He just swooned. And then he was taken down from the cross. But we know that that would be totally unrealistic. You remember that Jesus was scourged viciously. You know that he was unable to carry his own cross. You remember that the centurion who'd seen many people crucified and died, he said that this was something unique, that the way Jesus had died was totally different from the way that other people had died. You remember that he died sooner than was expected, and therefore his bones didn't have to be broken. Amazing incidents like that that are recorded for us that are unique to the resurrection of Jesus. So it's utterly unrealistic to say that Jesus didn't die. Of course he did die. The disciples stole him, is what some people would say, but the disciples were not in a position to do anything heroic like that. They were broken men. They were disillusioned, disappointed men, as we've heard this morning. They had no power in themselves to bring Jesus' body back to life. The authorities, people say, could have stolen the body of Jesus. Well, if that was the case, all they had to do after 3 days when it was rumored that Jesus was alive was to produce the body, and that would be the end of that. So that can't be true. And neither, of course, is it possible for robbers to have stolen the tomb, because the tomb was guarded by Roman soldiers. So on every count, the empty tomb is a powerful statement that Jesus Christ did, in fact, rise from the dead. The second stream of evidence is related to the fact that people say that the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus were disciples hallucinating. They couldn't possibly be real. But in fact, when Jesus had risen from the dead, he appeared in a variety of settings to a variety of people, on one occasion at more than 500 at that particular time. You remember that he met the woman, who Mary, who thought that he was the gardener. You remember that he gave a meal to the disciples that had been fishing on Galilee. You remember that he appeared twice in the upper room with them and showed to them his scars and his wounds. This isn't the likely background of a person that had hallucinated. These are observations and events that many, many people independently witnessed. The third stream of evidence is the transformation that occurred in the original disciples. From being men who were scared and frightened and locked away because the authorities might come after them as they come after Jesus, they were broken people. They were disappointed. But after they witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they became so identified with Christ that they spread the news of the gospel and the news of the resurrection all over the then known world. Amazing. Many of them laid down their lives, which you don't do if you're believing a lie. Many of them laid down their lives. Many of them died a martyr's death. Peter is rumored or said about him that he was crucified upside down because he didn't want to be in the same category as those who crucified Jesus. He didn't feel honored to have a death like his. And from these handful of men and women who were passionately committed to Christ, his name, his gospel, was spread throughout the then known world. And the fourth area of evidence is that what happened for Jesus Christ, beginning in the small country in the Middle East, the gospel of Jesus has been taken to every corner of the world. There are now 2.38 billion Christians in the world. A third of the world's population is Christian. Now that's difficult to verify in terms of what actually means to be a Christian, but that would be people who would be identified as being Christian. A third of our present world. That's astonishing, isn't it? Whatever that means in realism, difficult to know, but that in itself is an incredible statement. And of course, in our present circumstances, we don't see people coming to the Lord on a mass scale, but in the Southern Hemisphere, there are people groups turning to the Lord that have never been His before. The gospel has been spread throughout the whole world. And of course, through our modern means of communication, there's no limit to the way in which the news of the gospel can be spread. Remarkable. So if we do believe that Jesus did indeed rose from the dead, what are the implications for us? What are the consequences for us? What are the blessings that come down to us? Well, first of all, Jesus demonstrated by being raised from the dead that he himself had defeated death. Amazing that we have an experience of we have the testimony that we can live a new life free from sin and free from the power of the enemy and free from death because Jesus rose from the dead. Because he lives, he said in just before he died, because he lives, we shall live also. And we've heard through Helen and other things that it is possible for Jesus to come and live on the inside of us and bring his life into us. And his resurrection actually ratifies all that he spoke about, all that he shared, all that he taught, the way in which he lived, what he did on the cross, by his death. The resurrection has validified, justified, ratified, we'll get there, what he did on the cross. Well, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And I want to just run through a few, jumped on a bit there. Wonderful that he has overcome death. He's risen again. And he justifies us because of that. I want to give you a series of verses. We won't have time to look at them. Just a number of verses that link the resurrection with key things in our lives. So first of all, the resurrection empowers us to be justified by faith in the Lord Jesus. We can be put in right relationship with God because of the work that Jesus did on the cross and because he raised his Son from death to enable us by the power of the Holy Spirit to be put in right relationship with him. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? We can be forgiven for our sin. We can have our sins blotted out. We can be brought by faith into a knowledge of God through Jesus Christ. And we can be put into a position as if we have never sinned. We've been justified by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He brings us salvation. It says in Romans 10 that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, we will be saved. And there's a quote there. You'll have to look up these verses if you want to see them. There's a direct reference to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:3. He has given us new birth, as we've heard already this morning. It's possible for you and I to have a new beginning in Christ. Possible for us to be put in right relationship, but then also to be born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, which enables his life to become ours. He is now the judge of all men. And this is one of the serious implications of the gospel and of the resurrection, because the Bible talks about the knowledge of God being suppressed and held down. And that's a serious position for people who hold down and do not want to face up to the consequences for them of Jesus rising from the dead. If Jesus really did die and rose again and is in heaven, as Christians know, if that really happened, then that's the most important thing that's ever happened in our world. C.S. Lewis talks about that. He says you can't have a bit of it and a bit of that. You have to... The implication of being involved with the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is immense. Hallelujah. For those of us who believe, it's wonderful, it's hope. But there will be a day coming when men and women will be judged, because Jesus Christ has become the judge of all men, both living and dead. Romans 7 talks about the Holy Spirit making it possible for us to be spiritually fruitful. It talks about, in Ephesians 6, it talks about us, our position in Christ, that because he's been raised, we've been raised too. Ultimately, in one day when we're all raised in the resurrection at the end times, but also raised now. Romans 8, Dave quoted this morning, he gives life even to our mortal bodies now. The frailties of our human condition can be made alive. They can be quickened. They can be just quickened into new life power. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Don't feel that you have to jot all these verses down, because I can let you have the notes if you particularly want to do that. And through, of course, much of the New Testament, there's great hope. The hope of the resurrection. This is the certainty of Christian belief, that we serve a risen Saviour. And one day we will be with him forever. That is our great hope, because he died and was risen from the dead. So we will die, but we will be raised to be with him too. What a wonderful thing that is. One day we'll meet those that we've loved who've gone on before, and we will follow by the Lord's grace in their footsteps, believing him for fullness of life in Christ. Should we just pray? Father, we thank you for this great day. Father, we thank you that because you live, we can live also. Lord, we thank you for the prospect and the hope of new life in Christ for those who do not as yet believe in him. We thank you it's only a step of faith into the knowledge of Christ. We thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord Jesus, to make it possible for us to be brought into your presence and made clean by the washing of your blood and by the receiving of your Holy Spirit. And we pray for one another here this morning. We pray that that may be our great experience. We pray that we might be blessed by the speaking of your word into our hearts through a variety of means this morning, Lord, and that we should each one be brought into living relationship with you and made new by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can celebrate these things with certainty, with joy, with love in our hearts. And we pray for the enlightenment of our minds, from the youngest here this morning until the oldest, that we may really know you, whom to know is life eternal. We thank you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.